The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
Welcome back to another edition of the Federal Football Report, 1500 AM, the website federalnewsradio.com. Claude Jennings here, Kevin Stanfield here as well. The Washington Redskins not here. Lose to the Saints Monday night, week 5 loss in New Orleans, 43-19 to fall to 2-2. The Saints improved to 4-1. Kevin, what a night, man. What a night. Real odd. Not sure what to make out of the whole thing.
In the words of the late, great Jed Clampett, pitiful. Pitiful. What can you make of it, man? It's like you expect somebody to have a bad game. That's a given. But they had the motivation right there. Anything needed to motivate a player to play well. You're playing on Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm. They're going to have this big, they already told you they're going to stop the game for Drew Brees when he passes his record, right?
Right. Here's what's interesting. I meant to interrupt you on purpose, especially with this Drew Brees thing. You know, here's the thing. Everybody, and I understand,
you know,
one of the best passers to play the game.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, one of the best men to play the game as well. Really good guy, right?
That's what I hear.
Now, it was obvious that he needed 200 yards or so to pass Peyton Manning. Everyone just acting like it was inevitable that he was going to get that 200 yards. Like you said, wouldn't it be motivation enough to tell the defense, everybody just plans that he's just going to break this record tonight against us at home? Let's make a statement. Let's get out there and let's, if we can, stop him from throwing for 200 yards today and make a statement that the Redskins will be 3-1 and they're a team that you've got to that's putting the rest of the NFC, not just the East because the East is dead, but the rest of the NFC on notice. That's motivation enough. It's like everyone already counted it as done.
That should have been the pregame speech that legends are made of. You sit the guys there and say, this will not happen on my watch.
Correct.
The world is watching you. You can mess up this whole celebration right here, right now. That's what you can do if you're a ball player. Who knows what was said to these guys? If anything, like they were saying,
I'll tell you what was said. What? Hey, when Drew Brees breaks this record, guys, just clap it up, get out the way, let them celebrate, and then let's get on with the rest of this game and lose.
Someone obviously said that, you know, because there was no fire, no spirit, no motivation. The one fiery play was the one that Nicholson got the personal foul on for pushing the guy after,
you know,
and it was like one of those Three Stooges things when the guy was bent down, you know, on his knees behind him and he pushed him over, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a big lineman he pushed too, and he just, it was ridiculous. It was just totally ridiculous. There's no excuse for people who get paid to perform in this arena. Drew Brees only had 3 incomplete passes last night.
Yeah. I mean, how's that for a state line?
Three incomplete passes. It was ridiculous on all. You know, we're not going to leave the offense out. They were ridiculous as well. But you know what? You have to put this squarely in the laps of the coaches. There's no other explanation. I mean, what is it? I mean, you got offense, you got defense, special team. What is the least common denominator? This is the coaching, right?
Yeah. No, there you go. I mean, we talk about this all the time. It seemed as if they were just not ready to play the game. They just weren't ready. They weren't prepared. They weren't excited. I don't know what the defensive game plan seemed to be. And here's the thing. Again, when you're playing against a quarterback like Drew Brees, we understand. Professional. He's one of the best that's done it. He's got a pretty good complement of receivers there. He knows what he's doing. So to some extent, it's like, look, they're playing a team that's better than them. But they're not playing a team that's that much better than them. Do we really think that the Saints are that much better than the Washington Redskins from what we saw the first 4 weeks? Or it literally just didn't see any effort.
It was like they were either totally confused as to what they were supposed to be doing. And I did hear a clip from Jay Gruden saying that they look like maybe they have to simplify things a little bit, but it's things that they've been doing since the beginning of camp. Well maybe they never understood it.
Right, right. No, but, you're right. And then whose fault is that? Is that the coaching staff's fault? Because here's the thing. If it looked like they didn't know what they were doing or they were confused and now we have to simplify things, you couldn't tell that by the end of the preseason or by the beginning of the middle of the preseason that maybe the guys don't have it. Who's putting together a game plan where they question whether or not the players even understand it?
It is bizarre. It is, and unfortunately, it's a song that we've heard sung around here too often in the past 5 years. You know, failure to get prepared team to play. And you hear people say, well, these are grown men, these are professionals, we don't need to motivate them. Then why is the coach there? Is he there just to point them in the direction of the field? This is our benches on this side, the other team is on the other side. Why is he there? And beyond that, when you see something isn't working, why not change something up? I tweeted early last night in the game. I think it was late in the first period. And I tweeted at Stanfield Kevin, if you're out there listening, or at FF Rep. I tweeted, hopefully Colt McCoy is over there taking a couple of warm-up tosses.
So you're looking at backup quarterbacks, huh?
And, you know, man, you've seen plenty of games where sometimes a quarterback just doesn't have it. I mean, you don't do it to Peyton Manning, or you don't do that to, let me mark that real quick. Too many ums in there. I'll mark that right there. Okay. You don't do that to a Tom Brady, of course. You don't do that to a veteran quarterback. But Alex Smith hasn't achieved that status yet. Right. And it just was not working. He almost got both of Adrian Peterson's knees busted on just setting them up, throwing the pass late, and the defender got a good break on it. That's the same thing he did with Chris Thompson. Last night, Alex Smith just didn't have it, but apparently the coach didn't see that. There was no reason in the world that Colt McCoy shouldn't have been in that game in the second half. And you know what? We had a chance to win the game. That game wasn't out of reach.
No, the game was not out of reach until late. I mean, you know, gosh, I'm trying to remember the halftime score, but it was nowhere near out of reach even after the half. Because remember, the Skins gave the ball up, but then got it back, but didn't do anything with it right before the half.
That's right.
But at the same time, they weren't down by a ton of points there at halftime. I mean, it was, 26-13.
Right.
I mean, that's within striking distance at that point. You're not, you know, the game isn't all but over by halftime.
That's a score and a stop. Look at the Eagles game on Sunday. The Eagles were out of it all game long, but when it came down to crunch time, they were fractions away from winning that game, an onside kick. But, you know, they were fractions away. This game was over early, and there seemed to be no chance, no adjustments, nothing was changing, and they just gave up. They gave up on the running game entirely too early. The first play of the game, they almost got your start running back killed. Why not even let him get a feel of the game, right? Take the crowd out of the game. This man, it's hard for me to say because I said something bad about Norv Turner once on the radio.
Okay.
You know, I just said, like, you know, this man doesn't know what he's doing. He should be fired. And and just, you know, I just said it flippantly, right? And the next week, he didn't come to see me, but I turned around, and Norv Turner was in the studio standing beside me.
Right? Get out of here.
Yeah, for real. So that's why I said I'm sort of hesitant.
He didn't have any words for you.
No, he didn't know who I was. Didn't care, but that was my conscience. Said, oh, man, I feel bad for talking bad about you now. But I don't feel bad about talking bad. Oh, Jay, it's been 5 years. Enough is enough. And I got, man, and my disdain is not just because of the performance on the field. I'm just checking to make sure that we had enough time to get into. Oh, yeah. It goes beyond that. Now, I don't know if you're a fantasy football aficionado.
No.
Okay, well, I just do it for fun. No money involved. It's bragging rights, right? And I was able to get into a league this year with quite a few of the fans of the Tony Kornheiser show. So,
oh, nice.
Right. So I got a little reputation with them, right? You know, so I've been doing some brilliant coaching. Brilliant. I must say to myself. Going into the game last night, the person I was playing, all their players had played and they had like 121 points. Going into the game last night, I had Adrian Peterson and Vernon Davis.
There's no way in the world would think that you would lose.
I was 16 points behind. Excuse me, 15 points behind.
Oh, yeah, you should be able to make
I had Adrian Peterson and Vernon Davis. If I get a weak performance from either one of them, get like 8 points each, I win.
Right.
I lost by a point. Wow. Wow. I would say this is ridiculous. Just give the ball to Adrian Peterson four or five times just to feel out the defense, see what they're doing.
Yeah, right.
You know,
exactly.
Calm them down.
Just slow the pace down. I mean,
something.
We talk about this all the time. One of the ways to stop a high-powered offense such as the Saints when they've got a guy like Drew Brees who's looking to break that record that night is to keep the ball out of his hands.
Yes,
run
yes.
Run the ball. And you know, honestly, I just don't take this whole, well, the run game wasn't working the other night. How do you know when you don't try enough? The running game's not one of these things that you know. Look, you can know that it's working in the first 4 to 5 carries. Absolutely. You can tell that it's working. But you also can't tell that it's not working in the first 5 or 6 carries. You have to keep trying.
It's bizarre because the run game is not designed to win the game in the first quarter. It's designed to win the game in the fourth quarter.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
But you know, all this nonsense about the new NFL, the passing league, forget all that.
Look, they were under the Skins ran the ball less than 20 times yesterday. Unacceptable for a team like this. Unacceptable. This is the bread and butter. This is what we've looked at this. When the team is winning, when they're winning these games, the running game, they have a high number of runs, whether it's from Peterson or a mix of Peterson and Thompson. Like, this is just what works. Running the ball. And when they don't run the ball, they lose a high amount of those games.
You know, I saw there was one play early in the first field goal. It was a third and short, and they ran, of course, they ran them out of the shotgun, something ridiculous. But Adrian Peterson tried to bounce it outside, and he only got like 1 yard. Mm-hmm. And it showed the replay, and I saw the guard pulling and the tight end, the trap. And I said, oh, so they just go show this to Adrian on the sideline on one of the little iPads and say, hey, mm-hmm. bounces back inside. That's a big gainer right there.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't do it again.
No,
when you don't run the running back over and over, you don't have these opportunities for corrections. It's like, oh, that didn't work. Okay, let's scrap this. Let's throw the ball 40 times. It is ridiculous.
The Saints, 27 carries last night. Mark Ingram, who I believe was back for the first time last night, 16 carries. And
for
it was
his first time back. You know, so apparently the Saints don't believe that it's not a running league anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They can get rid of Kamara and Ingram if it's not a running league. I mean, then again, I'm sure that if Drew Brees plays someone else, he might have more than 3 incompletions, right? You know, that's unheard of, man. That's unheard of.
Well, and speaking of Drew Brees, I mean, here's the thing about the celebration that night. And I love it because, you know, I'm a big Drew Brees fan. I loved him when he was in Purdue. You know, part of it was probably because he's the undersized guy. And then, you know, he's in San Diego. And I thought he did well in San Diego. He wasn't the issue. Then all of a sudden they wanted to draft Eli. Eli didn't want to go, so they get Phillip Rivers. And they send Drew to, you know, New Orleans. And he was nothing but great for that city and for that state, especially after Katrina. So
right.
I had nothing but love for Drew Brees, but the whole ceremony is so funny because it's like they just disregarded the fact that the Redskins were even there. It's like it was all about the Saints, all about Drew Brees. The Redskins were just like second class team, like a second class team, just some JV team that's there because we got to play. It's like when you schedule the cupcake for homecoming, like you schedule the team who hasn't won a game in 2 seasons and you schedule them for your homecoming because you know you're going to win. That's what it felt like, even though I know they don't make their own schedules, but it's like the Redskins weren't even there. Like the Saints didn't care one bit about the Redskins.
I've been watching football for decades, literally decades. I have never seen them stop a game like that before.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah,
I've seen records broken. I've seen when Walter Payton broke Jim Brown's record, they gave him the ball and they just put the ball aside. Thank you. And kept playing.
Yeah.
When Emmitt Smith broke Sweetness record, they gave him the ball and they kept playing.
Right.
What was this, man? What was this? They scheduled a cupcake. That's exactly what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of using it as motivation, instead of using that to like rile themselves up and become fierce competitors, they were just confused.
Well, see, here's the point. Like, and we can also look at each aspect of the game if you want. We can break down the secondary. We can break down pass rush. We can break down linebackers, the defense in general. We can break down blocking schemes. We can break down, is it even worth it given that effort yesterday? Like, they just got beat on every aspect of the game, in every aspect of the game. And you look at this team last night, it's like what we talked about when they came out week one against Arizona. You're like, okay, they may be getting this. We may be turning around. It took 4 years, but this fifth year, they're turning the corner. They come out and lay an egg against the Colts, and you're like, there's no way in the world this Green Bay Packers game is going to end up with a win for the Redskins. And they come out, and they manhandle the Green Bay Packers. And you're like, okay, maybe the Arizona and the Packers game, that's the skins that we need to get used to this year. And Indianapolis was just kind of a letdown from the big win in week one. And then they come out against the Saints, and again, okay, you lose, I get it, but there was no effort there. This is the same question that we've asked for the last 3 to 4 years. Who is this team? We don't know.
Well, they don't know either. They don't know either, because they you know, it's kind of interesting. You know, I believe that certain people believe in voodoo. I believe there are things stronger than voodoo, so it doesn't bother me, you know. But I do know they're New Orleans, and something stronger than voodoo in New Orleans was Bourbon Street, you know. So I've seen the effects of bourbon, and that's what it looked like. They had a hangover. Yeah. They just had a football hangover, man. It didn't make any sense whatsoever. None. There's no excuse for it, and if I didn't hear a lot of Jay Gruden, I said his name, and it was rough. I didn't want to do it. I didn't hear a lot. But if he said anything other than, this was completely my fault, because it's my job to get these guys ready, I'll see what I did wrong, and I'll do better. If he said anything other than that, it's time for him to start passing out the resumes.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, here's the thing. Is it time for him to start passing up the resume anyway? You know, we talked about this because think about it. Even if you're talking about, okay, well, there were a couple of guys out there and it seemed like we were confused and didn't know what to do. You know, how long have we been in this system? How long, you know, there are some new guys, but you've got enough guys who've been here for a while. They should know what we're doing. They've been in the league for a while. And if you know the guys are confused, has anyone ever heard of just adjusting in the middle of the game? Say, look, they're not getting this. So let's scale back. Let's do something different because they're not understanding what we're trying to do. You can adjust during the game. At this point in time, I think that there's no question. There's no question that the issue with the Washington Redskins is coaching. There's no question about that.
It's never been a question. It's never been a question in my mind. It's because I didn't want him here in the first place. But, you know, I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. Matter of fact, gave him some Stanfields at the beginning of the year. He was our Stanfield coach of the game, right? You know?
Yep.
So I'm giving him every single chance. But he's not responding.
No.
You know, the clinical definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. He is trying too hard to make everything that's happening fit his system, and it's not working, and he's unwilling to change. He's just unwilling to change. Not even from season to season, not from game to game, from quarter to quarter. Sometimes you got to change, and I don't see it happening.
Wow.
Give me my underwear back.
Take the ones off.
No. Keep them. You can keep them.
Well, there you go. It's the Federal Ball Report on Federal News Radio, ladies and gentlemen. We're dealing with a Week 5 loss. Washington Redskins fresh off of a bye week. We didn't even talk about the fact that it's fresh off of a bye week. Come out and lay an egg against the Saints 43-19. I guess they just wanted to see Drew Brees break the record as well. They wanted to celebrate with him.
I hope they got the video.
Exactly. We'll come back with fake news or not and more analysis of this game, and we'll talk also about the next game. Look, FedEx Field, Sunday, 1 o'clock, Carolina Panthers. We'll talk about that game coming up next on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.
Hi, this is Terry Crews, actor, former football player, game show host, father of five, and all-around big dude. I'm also an expert on drama. I know all kinds of drama. There's the good kind that comes with having a house full of kids. There's the bad kind, like season-ending injuries. There's the necessary kind, like having an agent in Hollywood. And there's silly drama, like the drama around my percolating pectorals. And then there's the drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your high school diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org.
Or text DIPLOMA to 97779. Message and data rates may apply. Reply STOP to opt out. That's DIPLOMA to 97779. And leave the drama to actors like me.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
Hey, Steve. It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn. Find us on Podcast One. Like us on Facebook.
Our mission is helping you meet your mission. Federal News Network.
A team of university students has come up with a way to attack fake news that could also open your mind. The idea came out of a recent worldwide hackathon. Stefan Udenberg, a grad student at Yale, was part of a four-person team that developed a web browser extension during the 36-hour competition.
It'll read what you're reading. It can tell if those articles tend to be more left-leaning or right-leaning on those given topics. And then it could feed you a curated list of articles about those topics, but from the other side.
Udenberg says the extension will also flag content from suspected fake news outlets, but won't block it.
Our approach is really to empower users to tell the difference between fake and real themselves by seeing as many different types of news articles as they possibly can.
They hope it will help reduce political polarization. The team is still developing this technology, but you can already sign up to try out a beta version in a few months at openmind.press.
With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins on the Federal News Network.
Delete this immediately. You hear me?
Producers who brought you Agency CIO's Dream Come True.
Who are these people?
And Federal IT Lifesaver.
They're amazing.
Now comes another summer blockbuster.
Wow, this intel is a game changer.
We're running out of time. Post it now.
Here it goes.
Starring a 40-year veteran journalist and the host of The Federal Drive.
I don't care what the consequences are. We just can't keep this to ourselves. They have to know.
Tom Temin. And a 20-year veteran of executive branch coverage and executive editor of Federal News Radio.
Wait till you hear this interview.
The award-winning journalist, Jason Miller.
Oh, this is good. You better crank it up.
FederalNewsRadio.com. Experience the difference.
Rated GS 11 and above. Showing now at FederalNewsRadio.com.
And now back to two of my favorite old people, Kevin and Claude, and the Federal Football Report.
It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, segment number 2, 1500 AM. The website, federalnewsradio.com. Kevin Stanfield and I discussing this baffling, just a disgrace of performance this past Monday night. 43-19 loss on the road to the New Orleans Saints to fall 2-2, the Saints 4-1. America, you already know what happens in the second segment. It's the segment that you know and that you love, you wait for every week. It's fake news. Or not.
It's time for fake news. Or not.
Of course it is. That's why I said it's time for fake news.
That's right.
So let's get together.
We got three statements.
I asked Kevin three statements. He lets me know whether it's fake news or not. Kevin, statement number one. After the loss, the Redskins fall to 2-2, but there's no reason to panic, no reason to be down, because they're still first place in the NFC East, and everything's going to be okay.
That's not fake news. That's news. That's exactly what's happening. There's no reason to be down. There's no reason to panic. There's plenty of reason to be mad. Be mad. You know, be like Mr. T-Mad, or what was the name of that movie? The Outlaw Josey Wells, and he was telling the people how to fight. He said, when it looks like it's all down and you're about to lose, then it's time to get mean. Uh-huh. I mean, plumb like Mad Dog mean. And that's what they got to do. They got to get mean. They got to act like they're football players. The Saints treated these dudes like they were a high school football team, cupcakes that they brought in especially for this thing. And that's just a lack of respect. That's just a lack of respect. And it just takes each guy to just, you know, take it upon himself, look at the other guy and say,
there's times for falling apart, and there's times for getting funky. This is one of those funky times. So what's it going to be?
And that says it all. You know, exactly. So it's not time to panic. not time to feel bad. It's time to feel mad. It's time to feel mean. And you take it out on Cam Newton and his boys.
And that's interesting that you say that. Yeah, you know, gosh, I don't think there's time to panic. I think when you look at the NFC East, it's clear that the Giants are just not any good. By the way, I'm upset about that because not that I like the Giants at all, but that I chose them to win the NFC East. That's not going to happen.
Yeah,
so you look at the Giants, they're bad. You look at the Cowboys, they have no clue what's going on. It's like the only head coach in the league that knows less about coaching football than Jay Gruden is Jason Garrett. And so, I mean, did you see that call in overtime?
Yeah,
it's fourth and one. See, he needs to send a Federal Football Report. It's fourth and one.
Yeah.
You're on, who are they playing? They were playing the Texans. You're
in
the
yes.
Texans 42 in overtime. You're what, 2-2. Your defense has been playing all right, but there's no reason to believe that they couldn't stop the Texans from getting into scoring position. You have Ezekiel Elliott as your running back.
Yeah.
You have a quarterback that's 260 pounds, and you have an offensive line that, despite being beat up, have three Pro Bowlers on it.
Yes.
Three Pro Bowlers on it, and we're asking for a yard, and you punt it.
I read somewhere that Dak Prescott is like 97% on fourth and sneaking on short yardage situations and. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's as big as some of the linemen, right? Big as the linebackers. It's just, that made no sense, right? You know, sometimes these guys are smarter. Well, they're not as smart as they think they are.
They outsmart themselves.
They underestimate their own intelligence is what they do, right? You know, it just doesn't make any sense. I didn't hear the quote, but I heard, I heard Jay Gruden called the game last night a debauchery. Jay, that's a debacle, I think you mean, right? You know,
yeah,
but, that's showing the intelligence of the coach you got, right? Nothing personal, Jay. I'm sure you're a fine fellow, you know, but this ain't happening. You know, somebody else has got to take the reins. It's like,
well, here we go with question number two on fake news or not. You may have just answered yourself. Fake news or not. If the Redskins lose next week or this upcoming week, against the Carolina Panthers, Jay Gruden is on the hot seat officially.
Not only is that not fake news, I got the matches in my hand.
You're going to light that seat
on fire. I'm going to light the hot seat. There's no, you know, why waste time? You know, they're going to have to get on the hunt. And this team is bad at doing that. It's bad at interviewing. Look at the team. First of all, and I was no big fan of Sean McVay when he was here, but it was obvious, you know, the Golden Boy was calling the shots, right? It wasn't apparent to me then, you know, who knows? And they didn't have to pay him a ton of money to promote him, but you know the Rams offered him a ton of money, and they could have very well had that here. Now I don't know with the relationship the coaching staff seems to have with the players here. I don't know if that would have worked here. I don't know if he could have gained that same respect from guys who knew him as opposed to a fresh slate, you know. But look at him. Look at Patricia up in Denver, man. Look at like the Cardinals head coach, man. Look at that. You know, there's plenty of coaches in the league. There's plenty of young blood. We don't have to retread coaches, right? And you know, we got to seriously start thinking about this. And if Jay miraculously turns this thing around, I'm not talking about another 8-8. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm talking about domination. If he doesn't, if he comes back at this thing, it finishes this year, another 8-8, 9-7. No, we cannot do this again.
Wow.
That is news. That's real. That's not fake. that's real.
That's actually real news. And so the last question, and you can go on after we finish this with a point you wanted to make. We talked a little bit during the commercial break. The third statement is, it's time to rule Dotson a bust. And let's just move on. Fake news or not?
That's fake news.
Okay.
Let me tell you why.
Okay.
My reports, you know, I'm an insider, you know, we're veteran reporters here, heard Doug Williams, the assistant general manager, whatever title he got out there. I heard him say that the kid tried so hard to practice on the bad heel, he went and cut the back out of his shoe and play with his shoe cut out in the back so it would relieve the pressure so he can continue to practice. Here's my theory about what happened last night. He couldn't practice during the week. He got stepped on. That's not his fault. People around this town are blaming him that he got hurt. It's not your fault if you get hurt. If it's a thing of malnutrition or you're not doing the proper regimen, strength and conditioning, that's one thing. But if somebody rolls up on you, steps on you, bites you, falls on you, it's not your fault. Right.
Okay.
So the thing of the term, he can't stay healthy. Not his fault, man. I don't want to hear that. So they look, the teammates see the effort this guy is putting forth trying to play. He does what everybody else does when they're hurt. He goes to the trainer, does what the trainers say do, does what the coaches say do. Went to the pregame warm up, was cleared to play.
Mm-hmm.
Was cleared to play. Now that's not unusual that guys stay like questionable all week long and then do the warm up and then like, a game day decision they call it, right?
Right.
At that point, Jay Gruden says, "Oh, well, he's not playing." After he was cleared to play. To me, that's nothing but being vindictive.
Right.
Not only that, Josh Dotson's teammates see what this guy is doing through the week to get ready. The fans don't see it. I can understand the fans saying it's time to move on. He's a bust, so on and so forth. The teammates don't say that. They see him working, trying to get better, trying to play. They see he hasn't been throwing the ball. You can't catch what's not thrown to you.
Yeah.
And then for the coach to do that to him right before the game, so it could be announced on national TV.
Mm-hmm.
I think that had to have an effect on their team. I think that's another wedge that's thrown in there because it's not just about football. That performance you saw last night was not just about football. There's something wrong there when grown men react like that. There's just something wrong.
So you think it's almost like a Patriots situation. Remember with the Super Bowl? Gosh, I even forget the guy's
Malcolm Jenkins.
Where he was told that he wasn't playing the Super Bowl like just before the game started, and
right.
It really had a negative effect. You think it's one of those situations?
Exactly. Now, you know, on a lesser scale, because my friend Doc Walker said this, why punish the team because of one guy?
Right.
you know, you have to send a message, you do something, make a run, some laughs after practice, something. But why punish the team? Because, you know, granted, you taught them a lesson, didn't you? And you saw what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You saw what happened.
It was worth it. You lost because of the
lesson. Yeah. And it's not, you know, and then to have people like look at Dotson as being a reason that this is happening, right? You know, no, this is not this kid's fault, right? You know, as witnessed by, and this team has a history of doing that, right? You know, if it doesn't work here, it's like they listen to the fans. Look how they ran Carlos Rogers out of town. Oh, he dropped some interceptions. He can't call. Let's get rid of him.
How solid was he in?
It's all pro in San Francisco.
All pro.
There's a guy who kicked a record-setting field goal this weekend that they couldn't last around here. Been in the league for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, so stop listening. Listening to the media, except for the Federal Football Report, because speak truth.
Well, because we give them the rights. As we see it.
So that is fake news, man. It should be fake news with this outfit. Who knows?
Right, well, there you go. Well, there you go, America. That's fake news and not your favorite segment. And
my
we love
favorite,
bringing
yeah.
it to you every single week,
that's right.
by the way. Exactly. So as we move forward with this segment, Kevin, we just did a fake news or not. We want to look ahead to the Carolina Panthers. Some of the keys as you see it before we get into the keys of the game, talk about how important you think this game is in the grand scheme of things for the season. So we've already played four. We're a quarter of the way through. What do you think?
This is going to be a measuring stick game and it will measure heart. If they come out and put forth an effort, tremendous effort. If they go toe to toe with the Panthers, right? If they just like, you know, are not intimidated. And every time a Panther gets in their face, two or three of the burgundy and gold jump up, right? If it's that type of game, if they really want to make a statement, I don't care if they win or lose. I just want, you know, I want them to show me something. But if they come out flat again, that, you know, I don't know if Jay'll make it, to Thanksgiving.
Wow.
if they come out flat again, there's no reason to keep them.
Wow.
There's no reason to keep them because.
So you think this should be an immediate thing with Jay?
Oh, absolutely. Now, if Jay is smart, as a qualifier there, you know, what you have to do is you have to throw out a human sacrifice. Like, like
so fire one of your assistants.
Yeah, like Greg Medusky has to be gone, right? You know, he has to, you know, you have to do something to show that you mean business, right? You know, they like the Giants today cut Eric Flowers, right? The number one draft pick, right? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. You have to show them you mean business. So this is it. This is the season right here, this game, wow. Right here, right now. Like I said, doesn't have to be a victory, mm-hmm. but it's got to be an effort. It's got to be an effort. It's got to be something tangible there.
And that's what I feel. I feel as if you can't go out after a bye week and lay an egg like that. Because, again, you had a week and a half, a week and some days to prepare for this game because you had the bye week and then it's a Monday night game on top of that. So you had time to prepare for this. You had time to make adjustments. You had time to figure out what it was you were going to do. And that's the other thing about this whole, you know, ridiculous thing about defense talking about, you know, folks were confused. How, when you've had more time to prepare for this, you had more time to prepare for this than the Saints had to confuse you. And so how are you confused when you had more time to prepare? I don't know about you, Kevin, but the more time that I have to prepare for something, the less confused I usually am when I face that thing. And so I just don't understand how they're more confused after having more time. So you come out after a bye week, a big win, then a bye week to come out and lay an egg. You cannot follow that up with a lackluster effort at home, by the way, against a team that I'm sure you can beat. The Panthers, look, yes, they beat the Giants 33-31. They should have lost that game. The Giants did everything they could do to lose that game. And, yeah, the Panthers are 3-1, but, I mean, that's with another win against, the Cowboys. Yeah, you really going to qualify? Like, and so I just feel like this is a game that you can win. And that you should win, and that you, again, cannot go out and lay an egg against the Carolina Panthers at home, given what you just done. So is this technically, by the book, a must-win game? No, because you're 2-2. You've got the best record, you know, almost kind of by default in the NFC East.
Hey, it counts.
But it counts. And so you have it. And so it must win? No. Technically, no. But if you really want, to actually consider yourself a contender this year, if you want to consider yourself one of the better teams in the NFC, and, you know, and again, not one that just kind of slips and trips its way into the playoffs, but one that actually just takes that calls its own shots, that goes out there and like you say, impose your will offensively and defensively, then this is a game that you've got to win. Because, by the way, when you look at them, the top teams in the NFC, there's not a lot of them, by the way. This is, the teams that you could consider, hey, they're head and shoulders above other teams. I think really it's probably the Saints, maybe, but I think the Rams are probably the only one in the NFC, right? The Panthers aren't that team where you look at them and you're just, afraid of what they can do to you. So you should be able to go out there, play a tough game, and I think they should be able to beat the Panthers. And like you said, they lose. As long as the effort's there, then okay, we can deal with that. But if they come out there and they do a repeat performance from the Colts, a repeat performance from the Saints, there's big issues on this team, and I'm with you that Gruden should probably be fired sooner than later.
Yeah, you know, as far as confusing them or not understanding, how would you feel if you had to listen to this day in and day out?
Mixing some man and some zone, which is good, some two-man and some single-high man and some lurk, and did a good job of mixing up the coverages.
If you listen to that all day long, this has got to confuse you, right?
I feel confused.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Confused.
That's
I'm not even sure what he talked about. What's lurk? It's a lurk.
I don't know. Maybe that's what they call it. Lurk. What?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Oh. They're looking around like, well, what does that mean?
Yeah. By the way, I heard D'Angelo Hall say on that the play, the record-breaking play where the receiver was wide open. I mean, wide. I cannot remember the last time I saw a guy that wide open. That is confusing. He said what happened was there was a that the Saints had an option on that where the running back was swinging out to the flats. And the linebacker was supposed to cover it, but Josh Norman, instead of letting the linebacker cover it, he thought that was the play. And he left his zone, which was the deep outside zone, to come and put the big hit on. Right. And Drew Brees, being a veteran, just saw that Josh Norman's feet were going the wrong way. A dude, coach, I used to have you tell me, you always go where the other guy came from. right? Because he can't be in two places at one time.
That's
so
right.
That's exactly what the veteran did. He threw to where Josh Norman came from, and the guy was wide open. So that could be corrected. I mean, you know, when you start trusting your teammates enough to say, you're going to do your job, I'm going to do mine, and it's going to be all right. Now, I'm concerned that the defense they're calling, there's still this 3-4 thing that they think is going to work some kind of way and has not worked yet. You know, maybe it is too confusing. Maybe they just got to go to the basics, go to a straight physical man defense, maybe throw in a little zone here and there just for confusion's sake, confusing the other team. Maybe they do have to simplify it, but this isn't happening. This is not working. And I'll add something else. It's too easy for the other teams to read what's happening. Mm-hmm. It's just too easy. Like they know exactly where to go with the ball. It's like it's just, you know, if it's a physical thing, if you're just going, man, it's a physical thing. When this man gets beat all the time, that's one thing. But right. They just, whatever defense they're in, Drew Brees found the open spot. Again, three incompletions. Something has to change.
Wow. Well, there you go. Look, on the Federal Football Report, coming up after this break, Kevin and I are going to – I want to do something new, Kevin, because I don't want us to get down into this whole, too negative thing, right? So what we're going to do when we come back, Kevin and I are going to talk about reasons why we're hopeful for this season still, because it is overreact. It is the day after, 2 days after, whenever you listen to the show online, it is the day after the game, which is an overreaction day. So we're going to talk about why we're hopeful, and that's coming up next on the Federal Football Report.
Our mission is helping you meet your mission. Federal News Network.
7 Russian military intelligence officers have been indicted for their alleged roles in a range of international cybercrimes. An FBI-led investigation revealed that the officers in the Russian Main Intelligence Directorate, or the GRU, conducted computer hacking activities against anti-doping agencies and their members from nearly 30 countries. The operatives committed their crimes from 2014 through May of this year. Deputy Assistant Director Eric Welling says their motives were
to retaliate against world anti-doping officials who publicly exposed Russian government sponsorship of doping by Russian athletes.
The hacks were part of an influence and disinformation campaign that also allegedly targeted other interests of the Russian government, including the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons.
This indictment is an important step in standing with and seeking justice for the victims in this criminal activity.
The FBI encourages victims to report suspected intrusions to their local field office. With FBI This Week, I'm Molly Halpern of the Bureau.
Hi, this is Senior Correspondent Mike Causey. In Washington, we follow the money, especially since it's yours every week on Your Turn with Mike Causey. Whether it's your pay raise, a major change to your retirement package, or the chances of RIFs or buyouts, we're on it because we know how hard you work and what it means to you. Give us a listen Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network, or subscribe to Your Turn on iTunes or Podcast One.
To see it. We have to stream this live now.
From the producers of Federal Agency Lifeline and IT, the New Frontier.
We're streaming live in 3.
Now
two,
comes another winter blockbuster.
1.
Starring a 40-year veteran journalist and the host of The Federal Drive.
Daddy, are you a spy?
Tom Temin.
Son, we don't talk about that stuff.
And a 20-year veteran of executive branch coverage and executive editor of Federal News Radio.
Hey, we're dealing with a couple of really smart guys here.
The award-winning journalist, Jason Miller.
We gotta disconnect the servers. No, we gotta disconnect the servers right now.
They will never look at cybersecurity the same way again.
FederalNewsRadio.com. Experience the difference.
Rated GS 11 and above. Showing now at FederalNewsRadio.com.
Now, back to the Federal Football Report with Claude and Kevin. You know, they asked me to read this, but did they invite me to be on their dopey show? Of course not. The nerve of some people. Come on, guys. I like football, too.
It's the final segment of the Federal Football Report, 1500 AM, federalnewsradio.com. Claude Jennings, Kevin Stanfield. Something new, Kevin. We're going to do what's making you hopeful this week about the team. We're not going to stay negative today, not throughout the entire show. So give me one thing that's giving you a reason to be positive and hopeful.
Well, the thing that makes me believe that there's something to hope for is we didn't announce the Stanfield's player of the game this week. And you know what? We're not going to allow this to soil, what's a bad choice of words, we're talking about underwear, but we're not going to allow this to ruin this prestigious award. But none of these guys played like they had some Stanfields on last night. So we're not going to give it out, right? We need
You're not giving it out at all.
We're not going to give it to anybody because we need a team.
Kevin, this is unprecedented.
We need a team that's playing like they're wearing a pair. You know what I'm saying? you're going to have to earn your Stanfields this week, right? And I think that that's enough. Forget Drew Brees and embarrassment. I think that the Stanfields are enough to motivate these guys this week.
Maybe we should do a ceremony after the game or during the game, we will hand a pair of underwear to the player who won the Stanfields the game before.
What not just any that? Underwear, Stanfields, right?
Exactly.
The real deal, right?
And we'll do it in the middle of the game.
But then again, we might start a fad, man. Then all of them will be like trying to win the Stanfield Award, and there'll be all kinds of unsportsmanlike penalties, late hits, early hits, right? Hitting them too hard, whatever. But that's what they're playing for this week. That's why I'm optimistic this week. This is going to be a game changer, literally.
Wow. Wow. One thing that makes me hopeful, at least a little optimistic this week, is the fact that they're 2-2. It's early in the season.
Yes.
That there is time to get it right. Now, you've got to make these adjustments. You got to do what you need to do, but there's time to get it right. It's not over. This is not week 8 and they're eliminated from the playoffs or week 10. Like, no, this is just week 5, 2-2. Luckily, everybody else in the NFC East is making the same dumb mistakes that this team is making or just can't play.
What do you make of that? What do you make of that? The NFC East that used to be the beast of the East. That is just so lackluster and lackadaisical nowadays.
Well, and what's crazy is that coming into the season, we thought that the NFC East was back, or at least I did.
Now, mind you, we got the Super Bowl champions in the NFC East.
Exactly, and I thought the East was back. I looked at the draft that the Giants had. I said, okay, well, they're making some strides. You look at the Cowboys and say, okay, yeah, they're shaking some things up. I thought that they'd be back. Their defense has lived up to exactly what I thought it was, but their offense seems to can't find their rhythm, and they don't know what they're doing there. And so I'm shocked that the NFC East is as bad as it is.
Now, I got a little hope for our friend Rodney Henderson. I know he's listening, right? And there is hope. Now, if you recall, when Zeke first came into the league, Zeke had the same style that Saquon Barkley is having. It's just like he'll just like run into a pile of guys and not really go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until that Alfred Morris started playing more in Dallas, and Zeke had a chance to observe that maybe you don't hit the hole at full speed. Maybe you hesitate a little bit, slide, shift, learn some veteran instinctive moves that Zeke finally started coming out of coming into his own. Because if you recall, it took like 4 or 5 games for Zeke to get on track. And I think that's what the Giants are missing. So, so Rodney, if you got connections up there, maybe you shouldn't tell them till later in the season. But I think that's what they need. They need like a running back mentor. You can't rely on Barkley's pure ability. He's got to channel that ability until today's game. And I think that a veteran running back could help him do that, right? Too good a veteran running back, though, right?
Yeah, you don't want that to happen.
Right.
Yeah, and so that's interesting with that. So those are the reasons why we're kind of hopeful there. So I want to give you another Manny update. Flag football, they are officially 4-0.
Manny.
Haven't lost the game yet this season. Exactly. Now, here's the interesting thing when you look at the season and with Manny doing what he's doing. He actually only scored 2 touchdowns this past week.
A letdown?
2-point. Well, the reason he's doing that is because I'm such a great coach of this team that I've got 2 players who, just a week ago were running backwards. They both scored a touchdown.
That's progress. Yeah. Now, what was your motivational technique? How did you get this to happen?
You know what? I don't know. We were just practicing hard. I said, look, guys, we need some hard work, man. We want to win. Don't you guys want to score a touchdown? They said, yeah. And so now on both of those touchdowns, the guys who had the ball, they missed tackles. So the other team missed 2 tackles.
Yeah.
Get the flag. And the guys just took off and they were gone. But I'm telling you, you haven't seen anything funnier than a kid who just turned 4 years old, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, running with a football that's half his size anyway, and he's looking back the whole time, and he's trying to run, and he's running, all the way down the field. It was the funniest thing. But, yeah, so a slow week for him, just 2 touchdowns, but that makes it 13 touchdowns on the season in just four games.
That's pretty good. You
know, and by the way, my nephew, Jason, is playing as well. Now, he's, he's in the sixth grade. He's 11. The funny thing about their team is that all their players are short for their age. All their players on the team. But every other team has at least four players on the team that's taller than me. It's crazy. They're like basketball players. I'm looking at these kids like, there's no way in the world this kid's 11 or 12. But they are. Now, they won their second game this week. He had an interception and a touchdown.
All right. All right.
Yeah, so they're
something to just look at Drew Brees and let that be his motivation, right?
Exactly.
You know what? Well, I know of a guy, man, who's going to be available if you need somebody to give your team some motivational speaking.
Defensive linemen, linebackers, safeties, corners. Tight ends, offensive linemen, running backs, I think, and receivers.
Yes, you know, how can they not help but be motivated when they hear that, man?
I'll tell you this. If you think that he confuses grown men playing, he can say that all he wants to. He's going to confuse the mess out of these four-year-olds.
Manny.
Exactly. So he was doing his thing, so he was able to do that. So I want a quick prediction for the game. What do you think the score is going to be against the Panthers?
Well, against the Panthers, I'm looking for 27-17, Burgundy and Gold, victorious. I'm looking at the pride of this organization coming back. I'm looking at them playing it in terms of a semi-hostile crowd, because I believe there'll be a lot of Carolina blue.
I'm going to say, would it be more hostile?
Yeah, because they're playing for themselves. Like the big Russian said at the end of the Rocky movie, I fight for me. So they're going to have to fight for them. They don't, you know, I know the song says fight for old DC, but they're going to have to fight for them. You know, do not go down like a chump. You know, the reputation of the Stanfields is dependent on you.
Yes, it is.
That's right.
It is. Well, very interesting, Kevin.
Here's wait. Yours. You're going to give me yours, right?
I'm going to give you that.
Oh, okay, because I need to hear that.
I see a 17-13 win for the Redskins. But we'll come back next week more upset than we were over a loss, because we still won't be able to figure out who this team is. This is what we've always been talking about. Why is it that, you know, they'll either play up to the competition or down to the competition, get blown out one week or blow another team out? We will have no questions answered, but we'll get a win next week, and we'll be hopeful. Why? Because the rest of the NFC East is going to lose. Although I think the Giants and Eagles are playing each other, so one of them has to win, unless they tie, which we've seen a lot of. I thought the Cowboys were actually going to tie the Texans last Sunday until, you know, they goofed up the game
in
normal Cowboy form.
They can get a good offensive coordinator. But okay, I'm going to give him a shot. I'm going to give him a chance. Keep hope alive.
There you go. Keep hope alive. And that's what we try to do here on the Federal Football Report. Also, we'll have another report on the Manny thing. So here's the thing. I have another dad coaching for me this upcoming weekend, because I'll be out of town. I'm going to go see the Ohio State Buckeyes take on the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
All right.
I'll be in Columbus, Ohio for that game.
All right.
So I'll have a full report, a Federal Football Report there for us as well.
Well, you know, maybe perhaps Manny, you can slip Manny in, for the Ohio State University, right, Manny? And you've heard, you know, they've heard his touchdown scoring prowess, right? And
exactly.
Maybe they can slip him in and run a special Manny play, right? You know, should.
It's a college tour. I'm going on a college tour to see if I want to send him to the Ohio State University to play football. I mean, look, whether it's pros, college, high school, or 5-year-old flag football, 13 touchdowns in four games can't be denied.
I'm impressed.
There you go. And you know what? For that, he gets the Stanfield Player of the Week. We're
absolutely
not going to give it to the Redskins. We'll give it to Manny.
All right.
Stanfield Underwear Player of the Week to Manny for his contributions.
You deserve it, Manny.
There you go. He deserves it. And Kevin, you deserve it for putting up with this team for another week. But we'll see what happens next week. Got to come home. Look, fans, if you're there, you got to make some noise for the team. And you know what? Give them a half. Let's not do all this booing in the first quarter, booing in the second quarter stuff. You know what I mean? Let's not boo the team if they don't show up for the first half. Give them a chance, for goodness sake. They're playing with a coaching staff that don't know what they're doing. anyway.
That's obvious, yeah.
Exactly. That's it for the Federal Football Report for this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. Share the show with your family, your friends, your loved ones, and any Eagles, Giants, and Cowboys fans that you know. See you next week.